see you. Am I glad to be here? Amen. Amen. New Year's Eve service. Glad you came to be a part with us. Glory to God. We're going to get right into the Word this morning. I invite you to open to Colossians chapter 2. Finishing up this year with a bang. In fact, you know, Pastor Mark and I were talking this last week. You know, we're always leaving with you, and so we, you know, when we get up here and receive the offerings and things like that, we're believing with you corporately. We're believing with you individually. It just so happens that last week we took in our largest offering of the entire year, and so that's a blessing. Praise God. Amen. That means you guys are prospering. That means you guys are doing well, and that's what we want. Praise God. When you honor His Word and you do what His Word says, then you reap the benefit of it. But thank God, the kingdom of God is blessed and allows us to do more around here. And so we thank you for partnering with us, and we believe God with you. Amen. And I just believe, kind of like Caleb just said, I believe that He crowns this year, this coming year. This year, this coming year. Glory to God. I believe this is going to be the best year yet. I know we say that a lot, but I truly believe year after year after year, things are getting better and better for the believer. Amen. For the believer, things are getting better and better. The days are getting brighter and brighter. Now, it might not seem like that. As you look around, it might not feel like that. Oh, but it's getting brighter and brighter. For those that choose to call Jesus Lord of your life, things are getting better and better and better and better. And so, just so happens every year, just because of Pastor Mark's schedule and the schedule of the church and everything, I have the opportunity to give a message going into the new year. And so, I found myself in Colossians chapter 2 thinking about this morning's service. I was thinking about in Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse number 6. It says, "As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding." Somebody say, "I'm abounding." Abounding with thanksgiving. Now then, look at verse number 10. "And you are complete in Him." And so I was thinking about this, and as we turn the page and start the new chapter and the new year, I found myself here and meditating on these things. You know, if you're rooted in Him, just like the Word says, if you're rooted in Him, if you're alive in Him, if you're hidden in Him, if you're complete in Him, then how many of you know it'd be inconsistent for us to live life without Him? It'd be inconsistent to not make the decision to do as it says and to walk in Him. Come on now. And so if you need to walk in Him and you need to be thankful in the process, how many of you are thankful? Thankful for your health, thankful for the blessings that He's blessed you. Did anybody have a good Christmas season? Praise God. You know, my mom was asking me what I got for Christmas, and I was telling her, I said, "But you know, I think I've crossed over to that point where I really don't necessarily, you know, it's always nice, no matter how young or how old you are, it's always nice to be thought of and get a gift. But I'm truly at that point where I love to give so much that I want to see others open their gifts. And I'm thankful to receive, don't get me wrong. But it's all about giving. It's all about seeing those grandkids and those kids blessed and seeing everybody else blessed. That's truly where I get the benefit. Amen? And so as I was thinking about this, if that's truly the case and we make the decision to walk in Him and be thankful in the process, you know, I love so much because you have to have that mindset. Look over at John 16. You have to have that mindset in this world that's going to be your decision, because it is a choice. I said it is a choice that you make to walk in Him. In fact, Jesus said this. This was one of Jesus' last messages before He went to the cross. As He said this, He said in John 16:33, "These things I have said unto you," or "have spoken unto you, in Me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know that word peace, we oftentimes use the word peace. We see the word shalom. You know that literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. So when you think about your life that you're living in Him, you're truly living a life where nothing is missing, nothing is broken. If you go back a couple chapters in John chapter 14, we see this very similar passage here in John 14, 27. He says this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You understand what he's saying here is the peace that the world gives is all about where you live. It's all about what you have. But if you have peace in Jesus Christ, it's simply because you're found in Him. It's simply because you're walking in Him. So truly we can say we are in Jesus in the world. Let that resonate with you for a moment. So truly we are in Jesus in the world. And so if you're in Jesus and in you're walking with Him and you're walking in the Word, then there's certain things about you that ought to be evident. You know, another way to say it is there's certain tenets of our faith. As a believer, there's certain core things that we believe. And of course, we could go throughout the scriptures and we could pull a lot of them out. But I always just go back to something that I like to say a lot, and that is that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus is the soon coming King. It doesn't get any more powerful than that, does it? And so as I was thinking about going into the new year, and this just resonated with me. You understand, I had a whole nother message planned. But it just seemed good to me to go this direction. You know, one of the things that we believe, one of the core values that we believe as believers, as Christians, that if we're walking in Him, it is the fact that Jesus heals. That affects every part of your life. How many of you like to be well? You ever been sick? Being well is far better. Amen. So I just figured we would just start this morning with a little checkup. We just do a little preventive care going into the new year. I happen to know, just because people communicate with us, that there's some that are not here this morning because they're at home dealing with symptoms, and so we're speaking to you also. But I believe this will benefit all of us. Amen. Are you with me? So as you study the Word, you discover the subject of healing is very near and dear to the heart of Jesus Christ Himself. From cover to cover, you see this. It's very near and dear to the heart of God. And so it was very much in the forefront of His teaching and His preaching. So for us today, He has laid out a number of methods by which the believer can receive healing in the Word. And we see that throughout Scripture. So what you got to do is truly you got to find one that works for you and receive where you can hook up. You understand they all work. I said they all work. But sometimes you got to find one where you can hook up. You got to find a place where you can hook up with. And so we see throughout Scripture different places. You remember, just to name a few, in James 5:14, it says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord," somebody say the Lord, "and the Lord shall raise him up." Amen. Brother Tony had us do that for him the other day. Did you get results? Oh yeah. He said, oh yeah. Praise God. The Word works. Well, that's just one area. In Mark 16, verse 17, says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Somebody say, I'm a believer. "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Well, that's another area. And that's actually probably one that we see the most is laying hands on the sick. And then the Bible says, and they shall recover. There's another instance in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse number 12. Talking about go back to verse number 11. It says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out from them. Well, you find throughout Scripture different places where it talks about they would lay hands when the anointing was strong. They would lay hands on these things, and then they would in turn take them and lay them on somebody else. You know, if you've ever been a part of the Hagin's ministry, we would go to Winter Bible Seminar back when Brother Hagin was alive, and they started selling these faith creatures, faith animals, or you know, stuffed animals, and for the kids. But then, you know, as you went to the meetings, these things would be all over the stage because on Thursday night or some night like that, when he was praying for the sick, he would go around and pray for these handkerchiefs or these claws or these little faith animals, and the anointing would go into those, and then they in turn you'd go pick it up and go give it to somebody. I remember my mom doing that as a kid, you know, having somebody pray over a cloth. And so that's another area that we see the miracle-working power of God at work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, we see it talking about gifts of healing, talking about the corporate anointing. Obviously, in a setting like this, you know, where the anointing is strong, you can come up and receive. Praise God. Well, there's a number of areas, and again, these are just a few, but how many of you know the best way to be healed? Somebody say the best way. Say, which is the best way? Well, we can name all kinds of them, but the best way to be healed is to receive the word and then act on it. Now, there's a number of reasons why we say it that way, but how many of you know when you receive the word for yourself and you act on it, it's taken root in you? Thank God for the corporate anointing. Amen. And we're not opposed to that. Praise God. If the Spirit of God leads and He has us call the sick up, and we lay hands on them, and they receive the anointing, go into their body, and they receive their healing. Thank God for that. Amen. But the best way, because I believe this particular way, I believe the best way for you to get it is to get it for yourself, to receive it and act on it so that it's a part of what you are and who you are. Amen. So let me say it this way. Let me say it this way. And the reason I wanted to bring out a few of those is because you don't ever want to put somebody down. You don't ever want to put somebody under condemnation because of going to the doctor, because of going and get medication. It's not a faith failure. Let's just put it that way. Anybody ever taken medicine? I think if we ask around, it's probably all of us in some form or fashion, right? And so you know, you say, well, I didn't call for the elders, or I didn't receive through a corporate anointing, or I didn't. You know, you can put yourself under condemnation and you can miss the point of the whole thing. Right? So don't ever put yourself or somebody else under condemnation just because they went to the doctor or got medicine, you know. Sometimes you just need results. Because let me tell you this, if you're not getting results, you're not helping yourself out. You're frustrating your faith. Come on now. Sometimes you got to get results, especially with dealing with your kids. And that's a whole other subject, but if you're not getting results dealing with your kids, don't put them through that. You go get them help. You go get results. Come on now. This is practical stuff. You all right out there? But see, here's the other thing. If you can believe and you can go to the doctors and you can get supernatural results, then you go in faith. Is there any other way to go? Right? If you're going to go to the doctor, you better go in faith. If not, it's a waste of time and money. I mean, just going to the doctor alone is a couple hour process. That's just to get in the door. Then it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you. You better go in faith. I remember when back in 2020, when people were talking about the vaccine, you know, taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine, do or don't or whatever. And, you know, our whole thing here was it doesn't matter whether you do or you don't. You better do both in faith. If you're going to go get a vaccine, you better believe that it does everything for you that it's meant to do. But if you're not going to get it, then you better believe God that the blood of Jesus, come on now. There's no other way to go. No matter what you choose to do, You better believe God and trust God. Amen? Now here's the other thing. Even when you miss it, you ever missed it? You ever done something foolish and you realize, man, I put myself out there and, you know, I did something foolish and I just got out of the shower and I ran outside where it's 20 degrees and my head was wet, and then you end up with a cold. You know, sometimes we do foolish things. Sometimes I love it. There's a scripture. You know this is a practical book. Have you ever realized that? This is just a good practical book that'll help you out whenever you miss it, but it'll encourage you whenever you're doing right, but it'll correct you whenever you need it. It'll get you right back on track. But you know, in Psalm 119, it's very interesting. Psalm 119, 67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Yeah, have you ever needed to say that? Lord, I missed it. I'm paying the price for something I said, something I did. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that there was a moral sin. You know, to go astray simply means that you just went your own way, which is really what sin is all about. Sin is by definition, means to miss the mark. So when the writer of Psalms says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, he's saying, before I was afflicted, when I went my own way. See, sometimes it is. Sometimes we make moral decisions and we have moral failures that cause us to open the door to the devil. You understand that. Sometimes we just go our own way. We think, you know, there's scriptures in Proverbs that talk about leaning not to your own understanding. You think you know what you're doing, you go your own way, and then you pay the consequences for it. But thank God, the second part of that verse says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Oh, somebody say, but now. See, the good news is that God will meet you where you are. Look over at Isaiah 38. Very interesting passage of Scripture. This is talking about King Hezekiah. In Isaiah 38, verse number 1, it says, In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. How many of you know that's a get real with God moment? Come on now. See, somebody tells you you're getting ready to die, you go set your house in order. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I walk before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. That word perfect, don't misunderstand what the word perfect there. The word perfect just simply means I've served you loyally. I've served you with my whole heart. You know, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. It says that he served him with his whole heart. But how many of you know David missed it? We see in Scripture where David missed it a few times. And he paid the price for it. Lost a child over it. Right? And so let me add this. If you study Scripture, you find out something about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is just told, you're going to die, dude. You're going to die. Go set your house in order. You got to understand, Hezekiah had previously entered into a covenant with Egypt against the Assyrians, violating God's law. So he had truly missed it. He had truly violated God's word in making this covenant with Egypt, going against God's word and what God was requiring. And when he did so, he set himself on a particular course. So here we find in this passage, we see where Isaiah the prophet comes to him and says to him, set your house in order, for you shall die. But thank God, Hezekiah had enough sins that he repented. And he said, Lord, I've missed it. Turned his face to the wall. He said, I've missed it. So yeah, there's going to be those times where we're facing something. We're facing a sickness, a, a challenge in our body, where no matter what it is, where sometimes we have to say, Lord, I've missed it, forgive me. I've missed it. But he'll meet you where you are. There's forgiveness. There's healing available. You remember it goes on to say in verse number 16, it says, O Lord, by these things men live, and all things is the life of my spirit. So will you recover me and make me to live. One translation says, fully recovered with a fresh infusion of life. Verse 20 says, so the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs in the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And Isaiah said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Thank God for the healing power of God at work in his body. Amen. You know, healing by definition is a restoration of the body from a damaged or diseased condition. By definition, healing implies a recovery. It implies a process, right? And so I love so much, but here's the good news. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. So yes, he wants you to recover. Yes, he wants you walking in health and victory. So it says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. One translation reads, as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. That's what his desire for you is this morning, is that you be healthy, that you walk in health. What do we mean? You know, if you're healthy, you have the ability to recover and bounce back. Bounce back from illness and other problems. Glory to God. We say it all the time in the house, you know, if it can leave just as quickly as it came up. And I tell you what, I don't remember what day it was, Wednesday night, I don't know. We were sitting there watching them Christmas movie or something, I don't know. We were doing something. And man, I mean, just all of a sudden, I sat up and I said, I got to go get my Bible. I mean, I'm telling you, just in an instant, I had cold chills. I was shivering. My body was aching. And I think I startled Sheila because, like, I was kind of leaned back. You know how you do at your house on your couch or something. I was kind of leaned back, maybe had my feet propped up. And man, I shot up and I said, I got to go get my Bible. And she kind of startled. She goes, you okay? You okay? And I said, no, I got to go get my Bible. I got to go do something here. Amen. Man, I tell you what, for the next 10, 12 hours, man, it just tried to come on me. And I don't know that I've ever felt, now I'm not talking about like a fever and you know, feeling sick to your stomach. I'm talking about like an ache, like your eyelids hurt. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if I slept that night 1 minute, I don't know it. I mean, just all the sun that came on me. Well, it went just as quick as it came on me. Amen. Praise God. You got to make that decision. Now, you can be foolish and you can just say, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, I don't feel good. I think I'm just going to lay here a little bit longer. I think I'm just going to lay here till the end of the week and see what happens. Well, you'd be foolish. You can do it. We've all done it. You know, with the little things. We've all done it with the little things. Because I can handle the little things. I can handle the little things. It's the big things, you know. You got to go get in the Word. No, you better get in the Word on the little things. You better make that decision early that you know what, I'm going to believe God and I'm going to go get this thing taken care of. The ability to bounce back. That's what being healthy is all about. Ability to bounce back from illness and other problems. Well, what's the opposite of being healthy? Being sick. Being broke down. Nobody likes that, do you? There was a man named John Alexander Dowie. He was known as one of the earlier faith healers. He was an Australian evangelist back in the late 1800s, moved to America. But I think he said it best, and this has always resonated with me, is he said, sickness is the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin. I'll say that again. Sickness is the foul offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin. In other words, he's the author of this thing. You know, John Alexander Dowie was a strong advocate of divine healing. And so it was important in his ministry to point out that sickness is not of God. Never has been, never will be. Well, it's time we put the devil on the run by resisting him in his plan of attack. That's what receiving healing is all about. Look over at Ephesians chapter 6. You know this. We know all of this, don't we? That's all right. Good to remind ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." In other words, don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's just talking about the schemes, the methods of his attack. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch this. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Now notice, when it says evil day, know what he's talking about here. Have you ever had an annoyance? You ever had a hardship or a pressure situation? That's an evil day. So when it talks about an evil day, it's talking about being pressed and harassed by the devil. Being bullied by the devil. You know he's a bully. He's a bully. You know, it can mean being attacked spiritually, mentally, financially, physically. You know, we see the word afflicted. Again, we read that just a moment ago. All of those are talking about the evil day. So it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand." I like so much, I read one time, there's no situation so dark or so cleverly designed by the forces of darkness that there's not a kingdom key that will unlock it with kingdom power. There's an answer to your situation. Amen. I heard Keith Moore say one time, there's an answer to your situation, so keep digging. Keep digging. What are you talking about? Keep getting in the Word. Find the answer. Find the scripture that applies to your situation. There is no situation so dark or cleverly designed by the forces of darkness that there's not a kingdom key that will unlock it with kingdom power. Thank God. Amen. What is all this talking about? It's talking about being prepared. It's talking about taking on the whole armor of God, being prepared head to toe. You know, I was thinking about, I'm a big football guy. Anybody else in here like football? I watched a lot of football this weekend. Well, you know how foolish it would be. Ladies, forgive me if you're not. Guys, I'm ministering to you. Receive it this morning. How foolish would it be for a quarterback, the main guy that holds the ball every single play, how foolish would it be for everybody around him to have pads and helmets and shoes and all that, and for him to be out there in his flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt running around? How foolish would that be? Now, I think pretty much that's the way they want the game to go now, because they don't want anybody to be able to touch the quarterback anymore. But that's a whole other message for later. But how foolish would that be? Well, some people choose to walk around life that way by not giving heed, by not walking in what the Word says about them. They're walking around exposed. They're walking around open to the attack of the enemy because they're not fully dressed. They're not fully prepared. They're open to attack. So what do you got to make sure you do? Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that day of annoyance, in that day of hardship, in that day of pressure, in that day of harassment, in that day of affliction. So when you're fully prepared head to toe, then you can stand against the schemes and the attacks of the devil. In other words, you know what's coming and you're prepared. That's what this thing is all about. How many of you know Jesus? It said Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed or harassed of the devil. He's a harassment, and he's persistent. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord..." You know, sometimes people leave off the second part of that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions. Are you being pressed? Yes, the devil's after me. The devil's after me. The devil's after me. Now, you may feel like that, but don't forget about the second part. It says, "But the Lord delivers us out of them all." The word affliction here, if you look it up, means continued oppressing pain. Now that's talking about whether it's in the body or the mind. That's talking about sickness. That's talking about loss, adversity, persecution. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all." We've all dealt with affliction. We've all dealt with loss. We've all dealt with sickness in the body. We've all dealt with pressure. We've all dealt with circumstances that surround. That's affliction. My goodness, I think, when was it that my brother passed? It's been a while. I don't know. 5 years ago, 2019. In a period of 6 months, I think it was something like 4 people in my family passed away. Maybe more. That's affliction. I mean, that's something that gives you something to deal with. I've talked about it before, but me mentally, man, it put me through the ringer. Gave me all kinds of things to deal with. And at that time, I was much younger, of course. I was mid-40s, but I was dealing with thoughts of I don't want to be lonely when I'm in my old age, and is Sheila going to die before me, and how am I going to take care of myself, and I ain't going to end up in a nursing home, or my kids going to want to be around me, and... You know, I already think about that sometimes, but you know, I'm a lovable guy. Everybody wants to be around me. Man, it gave me something to deal with. I mean, I'm serious. If I've ever been depressed, it was during that time. If I've ever dealt with depression, it was during that time. That's affliction. But thank God, the Bible says, "But the Lord delivers us out of them all." We read earlier in Psalm 119. You know, Psalm 119 there's not necessarily a named author. You know, many believe that it was written by David. Some believe it was written by Daniel. But understand, regardless of who the author is, no doubt as you go through Psalm 119, the author was somebody who certainly experienced great affliction. Because you read that in the passages. But there's a theme that's carried out throughout this letter. And again, he mentions this word affliction. In Psalm 119:92, he declares this. He says, If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I saw my own death during that time. You hear Brother Hagin talking about, you know, when he was on the deathbed, he talked about he saw somebody performing his funeral, and he saw them putting him in the casket and putting him in the hearse and going down the road and going through the middle of town and putting him in the ground and then burying him and people's reactions. And he saw all this. During that time, I saw my own death. I experienced my own death. That's affliction. That's pressure. That's annoying. Now you understand, once you realize that and once you see those moments in your life, then whenever it tries to come up again, you can go, "No, no, 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 I've seen this before." See, there was something that come up with Sheila and I, and something we were dealing with about 6-8 weeks ago, and I looked at her and I said, "I've seen this before. I know what this is. I know what this is. So I know how to deal with it." See, whenever you experience these moments in your life, and you can go back and say, "But the Lord delivers us out of them all," every one of them, then you can stand in faith and say, "You know what, in the middle of my affliction, the Lord is my physician. The Lord is my healer." You ever faced an affliction? You ever faced something annoying? Harassment? Pressure? See, maybe it's not, maybe we're not just talking about sickness. Maybe we're just talking about harassment, pressure, financial pressure, pressure within the family, pressure with children, pressure with family, you know, whatever it is. It's annoying, and it's not of God. So if it's not of God, and it's affliction, and it's pressure, then the Bible says He delivers us out of them all. Again, Psalm 119:107, he goes on to say, I am severely afflicted, O Lord. Revive me through your word. Interesting thing about Psalm 119 is all throughout that book, it's a long book, or a long chapter rather, but all throughout that chapter, the one thing that you see him going back to every single time is the word. But your word, but your word, but your word. You better get so familiar with that thing that when a challenge and an affliction and an annoyance and a pressure comes up, that you have enough sense to get in that word and find out what's the kingdom key that'll unlock this situation. Because it will. I said it will. And understand this, we're not the sick trying to get healed. We're not the defeated trying to get our victory. We're the healed resisting sickness. Are you with me? You've got to always respond to every attack of the enemy from your position of victory and authority. Always respond from your position of victory and authority. This last week, you know, like I mentioned, Sheila and I were dealing with some symptoms and things. But going into Christmas, the week of Christmas, I had, you know, I had a little cough or not cough, but a sore throat, a little thing in my ear. I mean, like I said, I wasn't dealing with any kind of fever, upset stomach, you know, nothing. It was just one of those little annoying things. Well, right after Christmas, or the day of Christmas, actually, that morning, I think, those symptoms started coming on Sheila. And so I just happened to go in there, because she was trying to make some decisions for herself, And I went in there. I said, I'm sorry. I guess I passed this on to you. She looked at me and she said, you're not the devil. And that ministered to me, you know. I needed to hear that. But I started laughing and I said, fair enough, fair enough. But you know, that's the reality of it. You know, a lot of times we have a tendency to go, well, this, you know, we just had the family together and this one passed it to this one and I blame them and they gave it to this one and this one passed it to that one. And, well, you can get caught up in all that. You can. You might think that you can trace it all the way back to ground zero. But how many of you know what ground zero is? The devil. I said the devil. So, James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. See, I wasn't resisting Sheila. Sheila wasn't resisting me. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. See, here's the key. You can't retreat and run for cover every time something comes up. You can't go bury your head in the sand and think, well, I just want to check out for a little bit and deal with what I've got going on. No, no, no. You better be quick to get up, get in the Word, and get your faith established on something. Resist the devil. But notice the first part of that. Notice the first part of that. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know that word resistance means to stand up against. It's a military term that means to arrange to battle. And so I was thinking, Wyatt, you'll appreciate this, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I was thinking about Star Wars.
No.
Is that Star Trek?
That's Star Trek.
Star Trek?
That's Star Trek.
So not that. Sorry, I'm letting you down, Wyatt. Wyatt's a big Star Wars guy. Pastor Mark's a big Star Trek guy. I'm neither. So anyways, going back to Princess Leia, I remember Princess Leia from when I was a kid going and seeing Jabba the Hutt and Princess Leia and, you know, all the movies and stuff. But, you know, some of the later movies that came out actually went back to the early days. But, you know, Princess Leia was actually one of the originators of the resistance. See, I'm showing what I know now. She formed the resistance. She was the founder of the resistance. It was a private military force that opposed the actions of the First Order. And actually, as you watch these shows, you find out that she was sidelined from the Senate following a scandal that revealed that her father was Darth Vader. So this resistance was formed in opposition to the enemy. Resist means to stand against. Are you proud of me, Wyatt? Did I get it right? Are we good? Okay, just not this, right?
No.
Just not that. It's a whole other deal. Resistance. So we're resisting the devil. I read a definition one time that said to resist literally means to interrupt progress. I love that. Because the number one way that we resist him is with the word. And when we resist him with the word, we're interrupting his progress. He would love nothing more than for you to take every little thing that he sends your way. Every little annoyance. Every little, you know, and so here's the thing. Sometimes it just seems like those annoyances are building up. They're just stacking up. And then those little annoyances become bigger annoyances, and they become bigger annoyances. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to accept every little thing that's coming your way. Listen, John 10:10 says the thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. He only comes to do it. He never comes bringing anything good. Everybody stand to your feet. This is a good place to start winding down. He wants to leave every possible package imaginable at your doorstep. Every possible annoyance, every possible symptom, every possible little bitty thing that he can leave at your doorstep, he'll do it. Because he knows that if he can get you to receive one little thing, then he has access. And if you give him access, then that's all he needs to get his foot in the door. And once he does, then he will wreak havoc in your life. He will cost you money. He'll cost you relationships. He'll cost you your health. Well, what should you do? Resist him. Interrupt his progress. Right there in the midst of hell itself, you can stand up and say, no, 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 no. There used to be a day and time when I was growing up when packages were being delivered that you could refuse delivery. Anybody remember that? Nowadays you can't because they're basically running up to your door, throwing it and leaving, you know? You've got to refuse delivery. You've got to say, you know what? I've seen this before. You know, he has nothing new. He's not inventive. His ways are the ways that they've been for centuries and centuries. It's all, you know exactly what he's going to do. So the moment you see what he's trying to do, you put your foot down and you say, no, 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 the Word of God says. The Word of God says. The Word of God says I'm healed. The Word of God says I'm delivered. And because the Word says, then I'm going to receive what God says, not what he says. And then what does the Bible say? Whenever you do that, whenever you resist him, then the Bible says that he flees. To run as in terror. That's what that word flee means. So you want to put the devil on the run? Then what you need to do is you need to get this book out. You need to find every scripture that applies. Again, this morning we're emphasizing healing, but no matter what it is that you're dealing with in your life, you get the scripture out and you find out what the word says and you say, no, 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 I've seen this before. I'm interrupting you right where you are. That's what medication does. Medication don't heal you. It helps with the symptoms and interrupts the progress that's trying to take place. Our healing comes from him. Come on now. Again, I want to stress, we're not against doctors. We're not against medicine. He's the healer. He's the physician. So no matter what it is that you're dealing with this morning, I'm just concentrating on the annoyance. Whatever annoying thing is going on in your life, you put a stop to it this morning. You put your foot down and you say, no, 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 I'm not taking that. I'm not taking that. Can you do that? Glory to God. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, we thank you. We trust you. We believe your word. and the word don't lie. Father, we thank you. We are the healed. We stand from a position of victory and we say we are victorious. We are overcomers. We will not be defeated because we will not quit. So this morning, we submit ourselves to you. We resist the devil. We interrupt his progress and he flees in an instant. Because the word works. And we work the word this morning. Glory to God. Oh, he is faithful who promised. Glory to God. Right now, this moment where you stand, healing is flowing into your body, affecting a healing and a cure. The power of God is working in your body, affecting a healing and a cure. Just receive it this morning. I see people walking out of here different than they came in. I see symptoms leaving in Jesus' name. Things that have been annoying you this week are changing in an instant. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the healer. Most importantly, Jesus is the Savior. So this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, we don't ever want to close a service without giving somebody an opportunity to call Jesus Lord of your life. If you don't know what it's like to say, Father, come into my heart, I make you Lord of my life. If you've never done that this morning, I'm speaking to you this morning. What better way to enter the new year than to say, I made Jesus Lord of my life? That means I just made him supreme authority. I gave him control of everything that I'm doing in my life. That's you this morning? Never made Jesus Lord of your life? Right where you stand, things can be different. You can make a decision this morning that will affect all of eternity. Is that you? I'd like to pray for you right where you stand. We don't ever want to embarrass somebody, but I tell you, it's the most important decision you could ever make. Is that you? Am I talking to you? Right where you stand, all it takes, just slip your hand up. Just so I can agree with you, pray with you, believe with you. Glory to God. He's faithful who promised. Glory to God. I tell you, this week, if you find something come up and it's annoying, you say, no, 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 no. I know where the author of this thing is. I know who authored this. I know where it come from. He's under my feet. Just like David said, he's under my feet. You put a stop to it. You put a stop to it. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee. Always. For all time. For all eternity. That's the way it works. Amen. Praise God. You got anything? Glory to God. Well, somebody say this. Say, Jesus is my physician. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my Savior. And he's my soon coming King. Don't you believe that this morning? Praise God. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed this morning. I'm going to